It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, another great Saturday program. This is a cool one because not only is it a great guest, but he's also the owner of Outdoor Living Unlimited, our proud sponsor of WTMJ Outdoors. He's also an outdoor enthusiast. Eric Brown, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me, Steve.
So how do you define outdoors? Like, what are you enthusiastic about outdoors?
Well, I'm how I define outdoors is decks, pavers, patios, outdoor kitchens, all that stuff. How you can live outside your house, in your backyard, how you create that amazing, you know, where you want to be, how you want to feel, how you want to enjoy life. That's how I look at our outdoors, which was cool because when presented with this opportunity to sponsor WTMJ Outdoors and it being about hunting, fishing, like all of the stuff.
Everything outdoors.
Outdoors. I'm like, you know what? This is pretty cool because everybody goes hunting for a little bit. Like maybe it's a few weeks in the fall. They go fishing for weekends during the summer, but they all come home and they all have to come home to somewhere where they want to really hang out.
So I have talked to you over the years, and I've certainly heard all of your ad campaigns here at 620 WTMJ. Experts in sort of the deck experience, TimberTech decking.
Yeah,
tell people what that is, because not everybody hears that name or that brand. What is that exactly?
Yeah, so TimberTech is the decking material. They're the manufacturers, and if you have your favorite gun or fishing pole, rod, reel, all that stuff. This is our favorite, like that. This is our favorite deck.
Why is it your favorite?
The colors that they manufacture, the colors they use, the durability of the product, how long that deck is going to look beautiful and last a long time, all of that, just the way it's manufactured, the way it goes down, like from an installation team, from an installer, the way it installs, I mean, just everything about it, it's a premium deck product. That's why it's the only deck product that we use. And we're number one in Wisconsin in using it. So we build a lot of decks. We build a lot of them well, and we build a lot of them using TimberTech.
So the other side of this is the sort of the whole patio experience. And, yeah. And you've been in the business for a while, and I've got a nice patio at home. It sort of evolved from just a place you used to sit in your chairs outside to basically another kitchen, another living space. That evolution has been incredible.
It's wild. Wisconsin, the Midwest, always seems to trail when it comes to some of these ideas and designs. People, they'll go out of our area, they'll go to Florida, they'll go to Texas, they go to California, Arizona, all these different areas, and then they come home with ideas. And that's what we talk about. We tell people, go on vacation, go visit friends and family, bring those ideas back here. We'll design something that you want in your backyard all the time. And that's where a lot of ideas catch fire in Wisconsin. And now we are looking at maybe 25, 30 years ago, it was just a deck. But now we're looking at a whole area in the backyard with the outdoor kitchen, all of this stuff, just a way to live life better.
Eric Brown, owner of Outdoor Living Unlimited, our proud sponsor and partner here at WTMJ Outdoors. What's the hottest trend in the outdoor living space right now?
The hottest trend has to be these structures. They're pergolas. I don't know what to call them, to be honest with you.
Well, you should know.
I should know, and we're trying to figure this out. But they're like pergolas were always these wood structures to break up the light.
Right.
And we work with a product that is it's all aluminum. It's all extruded aluminum, so it's made to last. It's powder coated, so it's also made to look fantastic. It goes up. It looks like a pergola. It has the slats, but you can press a button, close the slats, and now you're protected.
Wow.
So it's this automated structure that's more than a pergola. That's why it's hard to define what it is. And then on the sidewalls, if you want a screen, you can press a button and the screens will roll down. Those screens will protect you from bugs. They actually will knock down the wind. They also are privacy screens. So these structures have been really the rave in Wisconsin.
I suppose with the changing weather, we had obviously big storms recently, that keeping some of the weather out, even when you're outside, is probably a big part of that story.
With these structures, you could have been outside in the latest rainstorm and just enjoyed the weather, enjoyed the rain, stayed dry, and just been able to just enjoy Wisconsin.
Eric Brown from Outdoor Living Unlimited on WTMJ Outdoors. I got to ask you, I know you're an outdoors guy. You talk about hunting and fishing, but you're also, I think, a golfer, and you love baseball. I think your son plays baseball, right? That's part of the outdoors as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When we talk about sports and stuff like that, we go on baseball trips. My boys are off in college now, but when we would do the whole youth baseball thing, we would go down to Iowa, go to Indiana, go to the southern part of Illinois, and we would find, when they're not playing baseball, we'd find a creek or a river or something like that to go fishing.
I don't want to let you get out of here without telling folks the easy way to get a hold of Outdoor Living Unlimited for whatever your project. I think the tag was make your dreams come true outside or whatever. That is something that's certainly people can do. How do they find you guys?
OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com. You can go to Instagram, Outdoor Living Unlimited, or call us 262-567-4513.
I love it. Eric Brown, owner at Outdoor Living Unlimited, proud sponsor and partner of WTMJ Outdoors. We'll do it again in a couple months, see what else is going on in your industry. And with you, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Always, always enjoy talking about all of the aspects of recreation and hunting and fishing and everything beyond that in the state of Wisconsin and beyond. This guest came from a listener suggestion. I think his name was Rob, which is interesting because the guest's name is Rod. So we are going to be talking in the next couple of segments about the subject of target archery. And who better to talk to than the CEO, top guy at USA Archery, who is Rod Menzer, who joins us, I believe, from Kentucky. He's on a hunt. We'll get to that a little bit later in the interview. But welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, Rod.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right. So I'm not really up on the sort of the target aspect of this, but I know it's sort of a popular pastime because, as I said, one of the listeners suggested you got to talk about this stuff. So sort of set it up for us. I know you're an older organization, started in the 1870s, I believe. How did it
1869.
Start? Oh, there you go. So that's a foundational organization in this country almost. Have you taken that early charter and made it so fascinating, so interesting for all the people that are involved?
You know, archery is really interesting because it's always been, fascination, right? It, from way back in the days, from the English longbow on. But it literally, the organization and everything was actually founded, and target archery was started, after the Civil War. It was a recreational piece after the Civil War. And so it's really interesting that our organization has been around that long. And, over the past, 15 years, we've really just accelerated. So ever since archery was brought back into the Olympic Games and the modern Olympic Games, the U.S. has been one of the dominant countries. And USA Archery, before that, it was called the National Archery Association. So we're National Archery Association doing business as USA Archery. But we field the Olympic team, so we're a national governing body. So we've always had that, and it's been a big part of what we do. And then, of course, the development of archery. But one of the pieces around national governing body is we're responsible for our high performance teams. In other words, our Olympians, our world champions, and stuff like that fly shoot with USA on their back, representing the country. But we're also responsible for development of archery as a sport. That's a big part of, the grassroots development of the sport. So we invest a lot of money in that area as well. So from the grassroots all the way up to the high performance, to the Olympians, to the Olympic medalists, that's what we're involved in. And we've got, a lot of kids programs and clubs all throughout the country. We have college programs, varsity programs where kids actually go to school on college scholarships, shooting archery. So it's a lot of fun, but we are the largest archery membership organization in the country. And an interesting piece, Steve, that you might find cool is archery in the past four Olympics has been a top five viewed sport worldwide.
I was going to ask you why you think that is.
Yeah. You know, there are some countries, like Korea, for example, which is a powerhouse in recurve archery, Olympic-style archery. It's literally a national sport there. Their tournaments are broadcast live on prime time, right? In the United States, we're so dominated by basketball and baseball and football that a lot of these other sports aren't necessarily, you know, they don't get the exposure. Well, through the rest of the world, they're pretty much just dominated by soccer, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, football, right?
Right.
And so archery, you know, there's a lot of folks that have always just been interested in it. It's a recreational thing. They don't do it for hunting because in a lot of countries, to be honest, they can't use a bow to hunt. So it's just a recreational sport that's easy to do, and it's something that anybody can do. I mean, we have, for example, our Paralympians this past, Olympic Games in Paris, you know, Matt Stutzman, he's the armless archer.
I saw the story, Matt.
Shoot, right? It's phenomenal, right? Shoots with no arms, right? Uses his feet and his chin to trigger a release. So, I mean, it's just phenomenal, but anybody can shoot. So you don't have to be, you know, this great athlete, you know, you can be the slow kid, you know,
yeah.
that, and what I mean slow as far as speed and you can be that kid, you know, a little bit, you know, awkward and, you know, what doesn't matter. And you can be an Olympian.
How do you get those beginners involved?
you know, there is nobody that probably hasn't been exposed to archery at some point in their life, whether it was in gym class or Boys and Girls Scouts, you know, camps, summer camps, you know, somebody, you know, has exposed them to archery. So then for us, it's about trying to get those clubs and those camps to reference them to either USA Archery or to some of our partner organizations that are out there for them to get involved with youth archery, basically, you know, and even adults. I mean, I have one of my best friends, he didn't start shooting until he was 57 years old and then, you know, just fell in love with it and ended up winning a state championship. And, you know, just you can do it at any age. We have archers that compete in our national championships that are in their 80s. It's just amazing.
I want to give you a couple opportunities to tell people how they can get connected to USA Archery. We're talking to Rob Mensor, who's the CEO of USA Archery. How can folks find you?
USArchery.org is the best place to go. And you can find clubs, locations, you can find coaches, you can do all of that, there. But it's just a, you know, wonderful sport that anybody can do. We have in the United States over 10 million archers, and it's like it's something that just everybody loves to do if they get exposed to it, and it's real easy to set something up. You can do it in your basement, you can do it in the backyard, you know, you can kind of, you can go to a club, you really get it, you know, involved anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. So I have deer hunted with guns for a long time, since I was a teenager, and I'm 67 now. But I have a lot of friends who have sort of got into the archery side, the bow season, whether that's a crossbow or otherwise, and I've seen the technology change. I've seen the level of interest in our state, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, grow significantly. I know you're from the Sheboygan area originally, right?
Yes, I still am. That's where I live.
And I said the other day when I was talking to one of my friends, I want to get into that side because the season's longer. It's often better weather. You don't want it too warm, obviously. And we'll talk a little bit in a second about the experience of that. But you guys do it all. You do the target, you do the field. Now this 3D part of this whole experience. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I love this sport. And I'm very fortunate that I started out when I was, 15 years old and, somewhere in the neighborhood of 23 state championships, I think, throughout my career, competing, but I got involved literally as an archer. I was fortunate enough to shoot on the U.S. team and win, world championship and stuff and set a world record once. That was a blast with my teammates. But the passion is once you get involved in the sport, it's going to grab you and it's going to be literally a passion. And it's something, again, the whole family can do and they can do it together. And there's not many sports that can do that. You know, and that's really one of the beauties of archery.
All right,
you get involved in hunting or target archery.
Let's take a break. We're talking to Rod Menser. He's the CEO of USA Archery. I want to get to the sort of the hunting side of things, because I know as we talk to you, you're actually involved in a deer hunt in the state of Kentucky. We'll get to that and more with our guest on WTMJ Outdoors, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Our guest for the last two segments, Rod Menser, CEO of USA Archery. All right, Rod, I know you are actively, maybe not as we speak, but involved in the deer hunts with a bow in Kentucky. So make the connection between your organization, your passion for, I mean, you said before you won 23 state championships as an archer, and how that translates to your hunting experience.
You know, it's funny because I started out just, you know, as a kid, just local range. There's a pro shop in town that's, no longer there, but started there. And there was one day, shooting in like a junior league. And one of my friends from school was also shooting in that league. And he asked, he's like, hey, my dad and my brother and I, we're going to go bow hunting this weekend if you want to go. And I was just like, sure. You know,
there you go.
It took a little moment to think about it. I was like, sure. So that got me literally hooked on bow hunting. And an interesting fact, I mean, bow hunting, the first state was Wisconsin that allowed had a bow hunting.
I did not know that.
So, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. You know, of course, when I'm shooting target and competing and doing those things, you know, really preps you to be ready in a deer stand for when a deer comes by. You know, your proficiency and everything is great, and again, you love the practice, and that's a really, really good thing just having good fair chase and making good ethical shots on things. So bow hunting is really grown, and there's so many people do it the same way that you said you do, is just to have a little bit more time, right?
Yep.
Because the firearm season is short. Well, here in Kentucky, and that's where I'm bow hunting right now, in 2009, about a little small piece of property in western Kentucky, and their season runs from the first Saturday in September to the third Sunday in January.
Wow.
So you can bow hunt that entire time. So it's wonderful, really, really enjoy it. But it's just bow hunting itself is just, for me, a time when I can really just kind of relax and just enjoy myself outside. And it's just, you have to get closer. So it's just very different than a firearm season. You know, you just have a less people in the woods, but it's just a lot of fun.
I love talking about the hunting experience, but one of the things we've been doing throughout the sort of the fall season is talking about the deer camp experience. And it's very unique in different places.
Yeah.
So I've been asking all my guests if they have like a favorite thing they love about deer camp or a favorite story that they want to share, because I think it sort of brings us all together as hunters, as lovers of the outdoors, when we sort of share those experiences.
Yeah, the stories never stop, and the interesting thing about it is the same stories are repeated every season.
Yep.
Right? You have the same pictures on the wall, and you'll talk about this exact same experience, and you'll all laugh about it like it just happened last week.
Yep.
And to me, that's the most fun. And now, my friends and I, when we're here, we're bow hunting, and we're in the stand. It's so fun because now we have a phone, right? So we're texting each other the play-by-plays of everybody.
Technology has invaded the stand.
Yeah, it has. It has. But it's also made it fun because you sit there and you're laughing and joking half the time because it might be quiet. Maybe the deer aren't moving or something. So you're kind of picking on each other. You're going back and forth and, whatever it happens to be. So it really helps the time. You stay out there and enjoy it. But, it's funny because you have a deer coming in and you get a play-by-play like, oh, and also you're like, you're waiting for the next text to come across. It's like, it's a nice eight pointer. It's kind of moving. You're just kind of like sitting there and you're getting a play-by-play of this person and thinking, and it's just fun. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I love it. Well, Rod Menser, CEO of USA Archery, I love the conversation. I'll give you one more chance so people can stay connected to your organization, find out more, get involved in some of these events, even as beginners with their first bow. How do they do that?
They can, go to usarchery.org, and from there you can go and find a club And the most clubs have equipment, and they're happy to help teach somebody how to shoot. They all have coaches associated with them. So there's really, you know, very minimal investment to just come and try it. And once you get hooked, I just warn you, you're going to be hooked, and it'll be a lifelong thing.
I love it. I love the passion. Good luck on the hunts. Have a safe and successful hunt. And USA Archery sounds like a great organization, and I'm glad we had the chance to talk today.
No, my pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
All right. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors. Lots more to come. Thanks to Outdoor Living Unlimited for making it all possible. Lots more after this on 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. Always love talking about all things outdoors. And I got to admit, as I was putting the show together today, this one I didn't really think about. We have great partners at Wheel & Sprockets, a great bike company here in southeastern Wisconsin. But I never made the connection until one of my teammates here, Darren, mentioned that there's a connection between bikes and deer hunting and maybe hunting in general. And I talked to my friend Amelia Cagle at Wheel & Sprocket, and she said, you got to talk to Dave Schlabowski, who doesn't live here, but he lives up in Sealy, Wisconsin, which, if you don't know, is sort of between Hayward and Cable, that area in sort of the northwestern part of the state, about this new phenomena, this new trend of using fat bikes as part of the deer hunting experience. And joining us on this Saturday, Dave Schlabowski. Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, Dave.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. It's nice to be on the show.
Yeah, and for folks who don't know what the connection is, I know I talked to you briefly before we started, your connection to bikes and the bike industry and Wheel & Sprocket.
Well, I worked in the bike world for the second half of my adult career. I worked at the Wisconsin Bike Fed for a while. That's the statewide nonprofit group that works with all the different bike shops and the bike industry in the state. And then as part of that, I worked with Wheel & Sprocket and many of the other bike shops in the state, but Wheel & Sprocket's one of the biggest. And the owner, the guy who kind of started it, Chris Cagle, was kind of a mentor of mine when I first started working in bicycle advocacy.
So when I was thinking about this story and having you on the show, I guess I didn't really think about this before, but the idea of fat bikes and getting to your deer blind or your deer stand and utilizing sort of that technology, e-bike technology, to sort of make it easier, maybe even make it quieter. So tell me how you made the connection between those bikes and your hunting experience.
Well, I ride, you know, I kind of ride bikes for recreation as well as for transportation. So I enjoy riding a bike, and for a lot of trips, it kind of makes the most sense for me. It's easier than driving or whatever. And so that mindset, when I lived in the city, kind of carried through to my hunting system. So when I had to, you know, get out to a deer stand that's maybe, you know, a mile and a half from our deer camp, walking that distance, you know, you get sweaty because you're trying to, you got to dress warm to sit all day. Mm-hmm. But walking a mile and a half, even if you unzip everything, you still end up kind of heating up. And then also the idea of like being silent that you mentioned it, you know, deer, you can drive right past deer in a car or even an ATV and they just kind of look at you. But if they hear footsteps, oftentimes you don't even see them because they're gone before you get to see them. So that's true with bicycling. So, and then in the wintertime, though, unfortunately, a regular bike often isn't good enough. So you need a fat bike to get over the snow or even, you know, the wet, mushy, muddy terrain that we have when we're out deer hunting.
So I've been in this scenario a million times. I've been hunting since I was in my teens, and I used to have the farthest deer stand away from our cabin. Mm-hmm. And I remember I started with trying to strip off as much as I could and then carry all that in. So that's a couple things. One, the noise level of a fat bike or e-bike, and you said it's pretty quiet. And two, the other thing is the gear? Like, how are you, you know, with the gun and all that stuff, how are you handling all of that?
Well, so, you know, I'm pretty simple. I kind of like lever action rifles. So I started hunting with a hand-me-down Marlin 30-30 from a father-in-law. And then I graduated to a made in Wisconsin Henry 308
nice.
Lever action.
Nice.
So those, you know, I just have a scabbard on that, you know, a strap that mm-hmm. I just stick it across my back, just like, you know, you would if you're walking, and I'm able to ride with it like that. And then if I'm going to carry, if I'm in an area where you can bait, and I'm going to carry some corn in, I have a rack on the back of the bike, and I just throw a, you know, coffee can of corn in the back, and I'm good to go.
So I want to take a break here, but there's so much more I want to ask you about, because you've been doing this for a long time, and certainly it's sort of for me, it's a revelation that there's some technology out there that maybe I hadn't even thought of. I did read the article by Paul Smith, great outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it sort of piqued my interest. So joining us on this edition of WTMJ Outdoors is Dave Schlabowski. He's a hunter who has, as I said, using a fat bike in and out of the woods, in and out of the trails to his deer stand. We'll continue the conversation on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited, after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Always love talking about the outdoors. We're joined today by Dave Schlabowski. He has sort of, it's an interesting story. If you haven't read it, you can check out Paul Smith's story at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about utilizing e-bikes and fat bikes for hunting. We're talking to Dave about his experience. We were talking about the gear and getting that all in. You mentioned the noise in the first segment, and I know that when I walk out to my deer stand, which is no longer as far away as it used to be, maybe that's age, maybe that's something else, maybe just getting smarter, it is a chore sometimes to be quiet. Do you think the fat bike / e-bike, sort of that rise of that trend, could be a way to knock down some of that noise, just get you out there quicker, maybe get in place faster for the actual hunt?
Oh, I know that to be true. So you talked about you used to always have the furthest deer stand to go to, and I hunt on some friend's property over in Peeksville, which is just north of Butternut,
yep.
which is north of Park Falls, for folks that don't know. And it's family land that they've had, you know, a couple hundred acres now is what's left in the family, and there's deer stands scattered throughout and logging roads, you know, around the land. And my stand has been one of the furthest away. We moved somewhat, when I first started, my stand was definitely the furthest away stand, and I had to go right past my buddy Casey's deer stand, and I helped him build that stand. He has kind of a Taj Mahal of deer stands. Some people might look at it and think it's a cabin. It's made with leftover 8x8 timbers. His brother's a timber framer, and he had some that had too many bugs, you know, beetles in them. So he left. So we built Casey a two-story deer stand with a wood stove in it.
Nice.
And yeah, it's pretty comfy. He's got a nice recliner in there. So he's happy to sit. And we both sit all day. We get out there early, and then we sit until dark. And but he will sit past hunting time if there's enough light with the snow, because he can still see the deer if they're coming in. And so whereas I'm in a cold stand, I'm aching to get back to deer camp, but I got to go by Casey, and I don't want to disturb him. And so I know, because I've done it. I've ridden past Casey with my headlight on my bike, and he's told me that he's had deer in on his stand that he was watching, and they would look up, and it didn't spook him at all.
It doesn't surprise me because you and I both know that you can drive past a deer and often they'll just look at the car, and unless you're making noise or rolling down your windows, they'll just sort of ignore you. So I guess that makes sense. I guess that makes sense. It does speak to sort of, I was intrigued by your Taj Mahal comment, because that sort of way to approach deer stands has certainly changed in the time you and I have been hunting, because I'm an old schooler. I still sit on the side of a ridge in a simple lawn chair with a couple logs and some, you know, greenery around me. That's how I still hunt. So I don't have any of the protection that a lot of my friends do. Most of them are heated now, a lot of these fancy stands. That has certainly been a change in the last few decades.
It has. And this land that, you know, it was owned by the family's, you know, grandfather before the father and, you know, uncles and stuff like that. And so they have a number of the old stands out there, which are, you know, a piece of felt wrapped around a couple of three trees or, you know, things like that. And we have mostly now, we have some, you know, handmade box stands that, you know, nothing too fancy, but they keep you warmer and out of the wind. So they're, it is more comfortable. I bow hunt out my back door. Our property, it's only a couple of acres, but we abut county forest property here in Sawyer County. So I can ride for bow hunting season. I can ride my bike out my back door out to a deer stand. And that's, I'm just sitting in a tree or something like that, you know, a tree stand or something like that, a climber stand for that. But, and I do that after rifle season, depending on, you know, whether I've filled my tags or not by then. If I've still got a tag left, I'll bow hunt post rifle season out my back door. And again, I can ride my fat bike out. I don't have an e-assist fat bike to ride. I do have an e-cargo bike, but I don't use that for deer hunting. I just use my regular fat bike. But there are now companies that make fat bikes kind of with hunting in mind. In fact, there's one in Wisconsin called Wyatt Bicycles, and they make an e-assist fat bike called the Wyatt Hunt, I believe it's called, or the Wyatt Maverick Hunt. They're just outside of La Crosse a little ways, and they make them right there. The guy that owns it, Wyatt, is his shop is next to a machine shop, so he is friends with those guys, and they machine all the parts right there, frame pieces that they need, and they're welded right there in Wisconsin too. So anybody that's interested in that, you can take a look at that. Wyatt Bikes.
Is it WYATT?
Yeah.
Yep, that's a great recommendation. I'm going to contact them after I get done talking with you, because I think that's some possible interest on a future segment. All right, so last question. When you go into the woods with your fat bike, do you think there's an opportunity here for those people who are getting older? I'm 67. I just turned 67. That maybe opens up hunting again for people that maybe were dreading the mile walk or whatever it is. Is this an opportunity for those folks?
I think so. It's definitely easier. And the e-assist versions of the fat bikes are great, you know, as well. And that makes it easier to get out there with even less sweat and effort. So that's certainly worth trying. They're more expensive, but, you know, you get what you pay for. And it is a definite bonus to have that assist. The other thing that somebody can try if they, you know, before you go out and spend the money, Wheel and Sprocket does rent these, and they have some kind of fun, they call them races, but they're really a party. they have a little series of fat bike races in the winter. They're around Milwaukee area and out west in the suburbs called the Huge Ass Fat Bike Series. And they rent fat bikes. Wheel and Sprocket also rents fat bikes, not at the events, right. But they're short little races. There's a lot of beer and music involved and hammer schlagging and stuff like that. So if somebody wanted to just try this before they go out and spend the money on a bike, they could certainly just go to any of the Wheel and Sprockets and rent a fat bike and give it a try.
I love that. And we will certainly link on our web page all the contacts for Wheel and Sprocket, one of our great partners here at 620 WTMJ. Thanks to Amelia Cagle for hooking us up. Dave Schlabowski, hunter who's utilizing this new technology with bikes, getting out to the stand, getting back to the stand, being quieter in the woods, and as we just talked about, maybe helping some of those folks with mobility issues. Thanks for joining WTMJ Outdoors, Dave.
You bet. Good luck, and I'm actually heading over to my Peaksil stand to do a little work tomorrow. So good luck to you in hunting season.
All right, happy hunting to you as well. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Lots more to come on today's show. We'll do it after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Thanks again for listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. And who better to talk about that than Eric Brown, who joined us, the owner of Outdoor Living Unlimited, who joined us to talk about all things outdoors, personally and professionally. The great work they do, all of your outdoor projects, from decking to patios, all that stuff they do so well. And it's very cool to have Eric on to talk about his connection to the outdoors. So thanks to Eric for joining us. Interesting one in the second segments, Dave Schlabowski. You might not know the name, but from Sealy, Wisconsin, he joined us talking about all the connections now between biking and hunting. Do you believe that? Hunting and biking. I would have never, ever put those two things together. And Paul Smith from the Journal Sentinel did a great story with Dave Schlabowski about his connection to Wheel and Sprocket, a connection I didn't really make, and how he uses his fat bike to hunt, to get around in the woods. It's quiet, and thanks really a lot for Dave for joining us on today's show. And we wrapped it up with Rod Menser, who, another name you don't know, but we had a lot of listeners say, you should talk about sort of the competitive side of bows and archery. And Rod is as good as it gets. Former world champion, he joined us talking about the growing sport of archery, the competition side, and the field side, right? Getting out there and hunting. So Rod Menser joined us from USA Archery. Always appreciate our guests because they provide some context and some info that you may not have had before. If you have an idea about WTMJ Outdoors, how we can improve our show, you have a guest suggestion, a topic idea, or just feedback, you can always send it to steve.scafidi, 2S1D, at WTMJ.com. I love your feedback, and I love your comments, and it's how we sort of craft this show, along with producer Jazz. We put together a weekly look at the recreational opportunities that are so available in the state of Wisconsin. I've said it before, from kayaking to rock climbing, we've done it all. Hunting and fishing, of course, from glamping to camping to just about everything you can think of. Even our friends over at Lake Lawn Resort doing some great things outdoors there at their great resort in Delavan, Wisconsin. We weave it all together every Saturday from 2 to 3. I love talking about the outdoors, but I need your help. So if you can send us a topic, feedback, comments, do that to steve.scafidi, 2S1D at WTMJ.com. We're here every Saturday at 2 p.m. We're also available on our podcast page at WTMJ.com. Or where we get your podcasts. It's simply called WTMJ Outdoors. As always, thanks to Eric Brown and the great folks at Outdoor Living Unlimited for making this all possible. We love doing this show. We love the fact that you listen. Thanks again for joining us on this Saturday. Wherever you are, whoever you are, or whatever you're doing, enjoy the outdoors. It's a great place on a great lake, and we love the fact that you stopped by on this Saturday. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for listening to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.